Podcast.
Listen to The Organist, the culturally omnivorous, intellectually ravenous podcast from the editors of The Believer magazine.
Part of poetry is learning how to speak.
Chilly Billy, Chilly Billy.
I am also a horse.
I really value my life, even though I know it's debatable whether I'm even really alive.
The right reading for this is the one I'm giving you.
Find The Organist on KCRW.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation.
Books. Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gudolf Hindenburg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt, and welcome to Bookworm. Today, my guest is Valeria Luiselli. 1 year ago, approximately today, my guest was Valeria Luiselli. She had won then the Art Seidenbaum Prize for first novel, and this year, her newest book, The Story of My Teeth, I love this title, has won the LA Times Book Award for fiction. Now, I noticed that the story of our teeth is the story of our life, yes?
Well, hi, Michael. First, I'm so happy to be back here with you after a year. And yes, definitely. I mean, the story of my teeth is not a memoir, I must say. People sometimes kind of, I notice they peek into my mouth when I mention the title of my new book. It is not the story of my teeth, but it is the story of a man's life and of a man in his middle age through his old age, told in part through the story of his teeth.
And his name is Gustavo Sanchez Sanchez. His nickname is Highway. Let's hear his voice. This is the opening two paragraphs of The Story of My Teeth by my guest, Valeria Luiselli.
I'm the best auctioneer in the world, but no one knows this because I'm a discreet sort of man. My name is Gustavo Sanchez Sanchez, though people call me Highway. I believe with affection. I can imitate Janis Joplin after two rums. I can interpret Chinese fortune cookies. I can stand an egg upright on a table, the way Christopher Columbus did in the famous anecdote. I can count to 8 in Japanese. Ichi, ni, san, shi, go, roku, shichi, hachi. I can float on my back. This is the story of my teeth, and my treatise on collectibles and the variable value of objects. As any other story, this one begins with a beginning, and then comes the middle, and then the end. The rest, as a friend of mine always says, is just literature. Hyperbolics, parabolics, circulars, allegorics, and elliptics. I don't know what comes after that. Possibly ignominy, death, and finally, postmortem fame. At that point, it will no longer be my place to say anything in the first person. I will be a dead man, a happy, enviable man.
Valeria Luiselli, reading from The Story of My Teeth, published by Coffee House Press. And as it happens, this is an as told too. Mr. Gustavo Sanchez Sanchez, who, like every other person in the book, is named Gustavo because of Gustave Flaubert, and there are many, many names in the book that are drawn from the names of great philosophers and novelists. They all happen in this book to be living in Mexico, on the outskirts of Mexico City, in a small town called
Ecatepec.
Yes, and in that town, there is a factory, and that factory manufactures juice. That factory exists in real life.
Yeah.
Humex.
Yeah, exactly.
And as it happens, Valeria was commissioned. Cormex has attached to it a gallery that has one of the most prestigious collections of modern art in Mexico, or is it the world?
It's one of the largest contemporary art collections in the world, I'd say. I don't know if the most prestigious or the largest. No, it isn't, but it is one of the largest and most well-known. And they are indeed funded by the revenues of the factory, and the factory that produces juice.
And this gallery, like the Museum of Modern Art in New York, they've begun, or like the Whitney, in its biennial, they invited the publisher Semiotext to participate as a contributor to the important art of our time. So there's a meeting point taking place between the process of creating art and the process of creating literature, and some of the funders and sponsors and benefactors are the same. In this case, Cumex.
My feeling is that art, contemporary art, research-based art, installation art, has become more and more reliant on storytelling because it's increasingly immaterial and it's increasingly more about the process of its making and about the story of the materials with which something is made, perhaps. And therefore, I think writers are being commissioned more and more to write for galleries, about galleries, and write not art criticism, but fiction.
So Valeria has responded to the Cumex people and said, well, I don't really want to write a novel for your gallery. What I'd like to do is to write a novel for the people who work in the factory. Oh, how are we going to do that? Well, I'll write it one chapter at a time, and they'll discuss it, and they'll tape the discussion and send it to me, and I'll write the next chapter. Yes?
Simple, right? Yeah, that was it.
Just like Charles Dickens used to do, the books would come out chapter by chapter. People would line up at the pier in New York to get the most recent installment of the Dickens novel. They couldn't wait, and often as not, Dickens, hearing about the responses to the last section,
exactly,
would alter the next section.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, this is fabulous.
The lines weren't so long in my case. It was only 12 people reading the installments, 12 workers in the factory. But it was exactly that.
Now, I'm talking to Valeria Luiselli, the author of The Story of My Teeth, an extraordinary novel of eccentricity, allegory, hyperbole. Everything is coming in to interrupt what would otherwise be a story. What happens in the story of one's teeth? One grows old, one's teeth decay, they're taken out, they're replaced by dentures. There is the story, as we're told in the section you just heard, but then there are variations and digressions, which are the hyperbolic, parabolic, circular, allegoric, and elliptic. As it happens, these are terms, figures both in mathematics and in literature. We all know allegory. We all know parable. Well, that's from parabola. So each of these sections takes on a different style. And because our speaker, Sanchez Sanchez, is an auctioneer, he decides, since he has nothing of value to auction, that what he will sell is the story of the things he's selling. So he decides to auction off teeth. I won't tell you how, but he's had all the teeth in his mouth pulled and replaced with the teeth of Marilyn Monroe.
Or so he thinks.
Well, so he claims. So he pretends.
Yeah.
And each of the teeth, in the same way that people selling coins, numismatists, would say this was a coin that was held in the hand of Alexander the Great. He is saying, this is a tooth that graced...
belonged to Virginia Woolf.
Yes. And he has a story, and as it happens, a true story, that one of the doctors that dealt with Virginia Woolf thought that it was an infection in her mouth that was destabilizing her mentality, and he removed several of her teeth.
Yeah, this is a true story, as all the stories told about teeth in the novel. Everything that's told about writers' teeth when Highway is auctioning off their different teeth. So these are the teeth of Plato, the tooth of Rousseau, Virginia Woolf, as we've said now.
Montaigne,
Borges as well. But all the stories that are told about their teeth are all absolutely true. Some of them are exaggerated, but they're all true stories, definitely.
And what we're hearing is called a dental autobiography, or at least in this book, it's a dental autobiography.
Yeah, that's what Gustavo Sanchez Highway claims that his story is, and he is telling the story to his biographer. So they discuss whether he is writing it, whether the biographer is writing an autobiography or a biography. But Gustavo Sanchez Samchins tends to prefer the term autobiography.
Well, it's more than a biographer, it's a protege. He finds a young man who wants to be an artist and tells him, you're not an artist. You're a wastrel, you're a vagabond, you're a waster of time. I'm an artist. I am an auctioneer, and being an auctioneer means that I tell stories that increase the worth of what I'm selling. If you want to be an artist, you have to learn that art. You have to learn the art of increasing the worth of what you are putting on paper. You do that how? By hyperbole, by ellipsis, by parable. And so all of these methods are methods that our hero, Gustavo Sanchez Sanchez, has taught to his protege, what is his name?
Jacobo de Voragine, who's actually a real historical figure. He wrote hagiographies of saints, and has a series precisely of biographies of the saint, the lives of saints. So before I started writing the story of my teeth, I was collaborating with the Serpentine Gallery in London for a little audio piece, an audio walk. And I was doing research on artwork that I wanted to kind of talk about during this walk, in which you would hear someone walking you through a kind of museum explaining artwork that wasn't actually there. But for me to do that and to write about artwork that wasn't there, I really had to understand the artwork very well. And so I did a lot of research for that. I read about many new artists' work. And something that struck me while I was doing this research was that all of these artists seem to hinge on the idea of eccentricity in some way or the other. They all, to some extent, constructed their own personas as artists based fundamentally on a kind of eccentricity. And that does not demerit the work absolutely at all, nothing. I mean, the work, I think, is still profoundly interesting, but I also found it interesting that they all somehow had to present themselves as eccentrics. So I started doing research on eccentricity as a kind of a concept that's always roamed around in art and literature. And at some point, I arrived at the mathematical definition of eccentricity, which is precisely related to these forms, the hyperbola, the circle, the parabola.
Yes, because everything in the kind of math that we learned from Descartes has to do with the zero-zero grid. Something that comes from the center is centric, and something that deviates from the center is eccentric.
Exactly.
Yes. And this is the story of a man who's telling us the story of his life. He had a child. Siddhartha has left with his mother when his mother has remarried. He's been raised by a stepfather, and he is a malicious son. In fact, true to the ways of this novel, he buys his father at an auction.
That's exactly so. So Siddhartha is a curator in an art gallery, in the same art gallery in the same neighborhood where his father was once a security guard. So at an auction where Highway is auctioning part of his collection and Siddhartha is present, he auctions himself out in a kind of ironic and also challenging way. And Siddhartha does, in fact, buy him.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with Valeria Luiselli about her buoyant and strange and rather magnificent book, The Story of My Teeth, published by Coffee House Press. We'll continue after this short.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
Listen to the Rhythm Planet podcast to explore music from all corners of the globe, Brazilian, European, African, and tropical Latin. Rhythm Planet is a state of mind. Listen at kcrw.com/rhythmplanet or on KCRW's app.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm, and I'm talking with Valeria Luiselli about her latest book, The Story of My Teeth. An essay-like novel about a man on a quest to collect and auction human teeth. Now, having bought his father, he installs him at the center of a rather unpleasant art exhibit, art installation. It's a exhibit involving huge photographs of very sinister clowns. This is not to say that all clowns aren't sinister, but these in particular are. And this is, in fact, an actual installation.
Yeah, yes? This is an installation called Where Do We Go From Here by the artist Ugo Rondinone. It consists of four huge screens in which there are projections of clowns that look like photographs. But if you stand there long enough, you notice that the clowns are in fact softly breathing, and once in a while they blink or they move a tiny muscle in their faces, and so they're sinister and profoundly disturbing when you realize that they're not just images, they're actually things that move.
Sanchez has been asleep on a bench, wakes up in this room of staring clowns, all of them wired to his son, who's lecturing him about what a clown he has been as a father, as a human being, as a liver of life. And this is one of the themes of this novel, the place where art intersects with life, and the story of our hero intersects with art.
Basically, what his son is doing is putting him in a place where his life is revealed to him, to Highway, as a clownish, meaningless existence. And I was thinking there primarily of this really sad character in Charles Baudelaire, in this short story about a buffoon called Fansouil, whose final performance is to die on stage after he's realized that his life is sort of worthless, and he does nothing but to entertain the nobility. And I think writers, artists as well, are always in a strange place in that sense. No? They're entertainers after all. It's a profession that can get very close to that of clowns.
This book is hugely entertaining, and yet, as any listener can see, it's like no other book that you can think of. Now, does that strangeness, what some people call experimentalism, what I would just call, you know, well, it's like the clown in Hamlet, a fellow of infinite jest.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
This book wants to do everything. Why? It wants to be amusing because it knows that it's being read by workers, and it's trying to rescue them from what might be a life of boring repetition. So the novel wants to be so enjoyable, so full of surprises, that life itself becomes better because of the presence of art.
Absolutely. And I did have that actual challenge when I was writing this book, because I knew that I was writing for 12 workers who had been working all day in the factory and who were now offering me their time generously to read the installment out loud and then discuss it. And I knew that I couldn't just kill them with this horrid, boring reflection on contemporary art and the relation between use value and symbolic value, things that I was kind of thinking about when I wrote this, but I didn't want to write about them in a way that was soporific or didactic or anything. So I wrote an episodic novel, not too distant in spirit from the stories of that you read in the Quixote or some of the picaresque novels of the Spanish language tradition, or even some chapbooks of the late 19th and early 20th century in the English writing tradition.
But however serious your subject matter, your manner has been like that of a juggler, or, pardon me, a clown. Is there a pleasure that you take in being sure that your novels will give pleasure, will be both intellectual and vastly entertaining?
Well, I'm really scared of clowns, so I would try to not think of myself as a clown. Although, again, I do think that writers often take themselves too seriously, and that they should realize that, after all, we're just jesters, entertainers of society, people who criticize society through, among other things, satire and joke and humor in general. And, I mean, I don't know what to say about of my lack of seriousness, definitely. I mean, I do take serious things very seriously, but that doesn't mean that I can't laugh at them. And it also doesn't mean that I don't experience things through the filter of humor. I mean, I used to get in trouble at school all the time because I was kind of always very rebellious and racketeous. And I guess that now I'm a very well-behaved citizen, but I use the space of my writing as a space to be more rebellious and subversive and not take anyone, especially myself, too seriously.
I'm very curious. You know, when I went to read The Story of My Teeth, I was looking forward to it immensely because of the amount I'd enjoyed Faces in the Crowd and Sidewalks last year. These are small books, and yet I would propose that they're unforgettable and that they take a very long time to get right. Am I right in thinking that they are the product of a good deal of care and rewriting in order to achieve this lighter-than-air quality?
Well, definitely. I mean, I've been writing for over a decade now. Right. I mean, I've been writing for much more than that, but seriously and consistently. I started my first book over a decade ago, and over these 10 years, I've produced these three very small books, and all of them have involved an intense amount of very concentrated and intense time. When I am writing, like as I am now working on my next novel, I write for more than 10 hours a day, which implies like reaching levels of exhaustion but also concentration that produce a specific type of a poetics, if you want to call it. I work obsessively on very short pieces, fragments of writing, and I do so for many, many, many hours until I achieve a kind of porousness, or as you say, a kind of light quality.
You know, we don't have much of contemporary serious literature that makes me laugh out loud, but you do. I find it fascinating that my guest of Valeria Luiselli has studied literature, has a doctorate. All the books are deeply read. They are bookish books, and yet they are works of joy. And I thank you for them. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's always a pleasure to see you.
I've been talking with Valeria Luiselli, author of The Story of My Teeth, published by Coffee House Press. You can comment on today's show or read an excerpt from The Story of My Teeth at kcrw.com/bookworm. Download the podcast from kcrw.com or from iTunes. You can also listen on demand with KCRW smartphone apps. My co-producer is Connie Alvarez. Alan Howard is associate producer. The technical director is Mario Diaz. Special thanks to my assistant, David Sobel. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms. I am a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mayle of Sparks.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm, when John DeGatta is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.